Barzal. Down to Dubois. To Barzal. Walks in, waits, feeds it across. But it scores! Drake Batherson has won it for Canada. All the way back from 3-0 down. Canada's on to the semifinals at the World Hockey Championship.
So I'm driving up to golf yesterday, listening to the call on TSN 1050. Gord Miller and Mike Johnson. The second period ends. It's 3-0 Sweden, and Canada was all over Sweden in the second period. And when you're down 3-0 against the Swedes, a team notorious for being able to lock down leads in third periods, pretty difficult to come back and win. But that's exactly what Canada was able to do. And the way I found out about it, Carlo, was a text from you that just had the Canadian flag. Let's welcome him in, live from Tampere, Finland, our friend Mike Johnson. Hey, MJ.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing? Yes, it was, things were looking a little bit bleak there after two periods when Canada was down 3-0. Even the shots in the second period were 19-1 in favor of Canada. They didn't score. Sweden scored one, and Canada did not. So it was one of those games like, okay, well, they're playing hard. Hard not to be frustrated because they're not getting the results, but you know, sometimes that's how it goes. You can do everything right and still lose the game. It sucks, but that's how it goes. And all of a sudden, an early goal, and then some magic at the end. And this tournament, it's always something, and it rarely disappoints. And it was a fun game to be at.
Johnny, do you think Claude Julien's second intermission speech was, "Hey guys, we're down 3-0"? But their best player plays on the Maple Leafs. They're not used to winning big games, so stick with it. We can find a way back.
Oh, I hope not. But that would have been probably would have got a laugh out of the boys. But you listen, William Nylander was once again scored a goal. He's always amazing when he plays for Sweden over here. But what would you think is an interesting part of the story, though, right? Like, he's not coaching here to, like, learn how to coach. He's coaching here because he wants to get back to the NHL. And
right.
You wonder what success here. And I whether it's Claude Julien, whether it's Gerard Gallant last year, like, I don't think the coaches have time to do very much to help a team. Like, you know, you don't have enough time to coach a team up or get a system dialed in. It's only a few practices, and then you kind of let them go. So I'm always leery of giving coaches too much credit. But if you win, people will perceive you as a winner. And if you don't, then it's okay because, you know, I think everyone acknowledges it's a very short tournament. So, you know, I imagine he personally is feeling pretty good that they got through the quarterfinal game against Sweden and have a good chance against Czechia in the semis, and what that bodes for his future, because I'm pretty sure he wants to get back into the head coaching game of the NHL.
Johnny, this team has a lot of similarities to last year's team that most people counted out after the round robin because, you know, they weren't really playing their best type of hockey. But obviously, once the qualification rounds started, they started to find their game. Do you think this team right now has sort of the same feeling? I mean, very lackluster in the round robin, but clearly with the comeback yesterday, down 3 goals in the third, getting a big win in overtime, you got to think this would be a huge momentum boost for them moving forward.
Would have to be, and it's interesting. I mean, last year's team was awful at the beginning, then kind of went on a run, got lucky, and then played really well at the end. This year's team played pretty well at the beginning, was not so good in the middle, and then who knows what happens here at the end. But even just being around announcers, other media, the other countries have this sense, and almost like a respect or fear of Canada, that no matter what they look like previously, when it comes down to it, they're, you know, Canada will figure out how to be great. Mm-hmm. Canada will figure out how to get it done. And it's amazing because, and I think almost, you know, as a Canadian, you start to believe your own hype. Like, yeah, they haven't been great, but somehow, some way, largely because they have very good players, they'll find a way to get it done. And that's what yesterday's game was like. 2 goals with a goalie out, one on a 6-on-4, one on a 5-on-4, then on a 4-on-3. I mean, it was a stunning 15-minute comeback for Canada in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a similarity there that they haven't looked dominant. I know the other teams that are still in this tournament would all say, we don't really like the idea of trying to play Canada in an elimination game because Canada, at whatever level, women's, under-18s, juniors, world championships, Olympics, they just kind of generally find ways to win games.
Mike Johnson, our guest, TSN hockey analyst, live from Tampere, Finland, and it will be Canada against the Czechia team. I almost said Czech Republic again. I'm really struggling in that regard. I got to straighten myself out. I'm sure you're calling the games. I can only imagine. But we know how Canada has that top line of Dubois and Cousins and Batherson. But on the other side, the Czechs have their top line of Roman Červenka centering. I guess Krejci's the center, but Krejci's on one side, and then David Pastrnak coming over from the Bruins on the other. I mean, that line has been dominant as well. So it could be a showdown of two really quality top lines between Canada and Czechia, MJ.
Yeah, absolutely will be. And you're right. Since Pasta got here for Czechia, it kind of has changed their whole dynamic on that team. Not surprisingly, he's a gifted player. And they were playing well, but were having trouble scoring. And that first line's really taken off, both at 5-on-5 and on the power play. So if you're Canada, of course, whether it's Dubois going out against Sam or whether it's Lowry or Dawson Mercer or whoever it might be assigned to check that top line at 5-on-5, that'll be part of it. But also staying out of the penalty box as much as you can, because the penalty kill was huge yesterday against Sweden. You don't want to make it have to be huge against Czechia, because those guys can really snap it around. And they have such, it's funny, like, you know, they play in the World Championships. They don't play together all year. They don't play together very often. But they have so much history with each other, with Pastrnak and Krejci from Boston, Červenka and Krejci from the international teams. There's great chemistry there. So, yeah, they are legit. They have those guys up front. They have Tomáš Hertl playing down the middle as well. They have Karel Vomelka, the Arizona Coyote wonder kid, who kind of burst on the scene. He's their starting goalie, and he's been really good in this tournament as well. So, you know, you'll see some NHL names there in what should be a fun afternoon or evening tomorrow night.
Well, as Canada continues their quest for gold starting tomorrow, you woke up this morning with a team that is continuing their quest for silver, and that is the Silver Stanley Cup that is handed out when the playoffs.
World-class segue.
Hey, you like that, boys.
Wow,
you like that. I mean, were you surprised to wake up this morning and, one, see the Edmonton Oilers close out the series in five, and, two, see Connor McDavid be the guy that helped seal the deal?
Yes. And no, I thought Calgary was going to be better. I thought Calgary was going to win the series. Calgary, I thought, had the better team and the means to kind of corral McDavid and Drysdale himself, you know, to some degree. And I kept waiting for Calgary to play better, to kind of, you know, assert themselves. And I maybe just didn't ever give Edmonton enough credit for how well they were playing and not letting Calgary get to their game. But I still thought, you know, at home, Calgary, Markstrom at some point is going to have a good game. He did not. You know, again, it's, you know, he just struggled with Edmonton. I figured they would find a way to push it to six at least. And when they're up 3-0, I'm like, okay, like this feels, you know, that's something that makes sense. But then, you know, Leon Draisaitl, everyone talks about Connor McDavid. And yes, Carlo, two things stand out to me. One, you think about the goal McDavid scored last night to win the series. I mean, it's, you know, a cap of an incredible kind of two- or month-long run for him. But also a credit to his desire to get better, because that shot that he scored with, he would not have scored with 4 years ago.
When he probably wouldn't even have taken it.
No, he would have tried to stick handle for a breakaway because he couldn't shoot, right? And the only reason he can shoot now is because he's worked at it. He's gotten stronger and he's gotten better. And you're right, he would not have even attempted that shot. So I give him credit for saying, you know what, I want to be great. He already was great when he started, but I want to be, you know, improved on my own greatness. So what do I got to do? I got to learn how to shoot the puck better. He has, and wouldn't you know, what he calls like the biggest goal of his career is scored on a like an off-foot standing still wrister that he could not take when he got to the NHL. So good for him. And all I know is I went out this morning and I'm intentionally trying to sprain my ankle because I want to be like Leon Draisaitl.
Sprain your ankle.
I'm rolling my ankle on curves left and right saying, can I please be like this guy? Because, you know, he has the same number of points as Connor McDavid. He has 17 points.
In five games.
17 man. Points in five games. Carlos Matt tells me that's 3.4 a game in the playoffs. It's ridiculous. So those two guys playing together, always the debate. Do you play them together? Do you play them apart? Jay Woodcroft pulling all the right strings, getting them together. They are almost unstoppable. Credit to them both, and they were both spectacular in the deciding game, the deciding moment, which only seems appropriate if Edmonton was going to go through. If they're going to get it done in overtime in Game 5, they might as well combine as they had all series.
Yeah, somewhere John Tortorella is hiding because of the comments he made about Connor McDavid earlier on the season that sort of sparked some controversy about mm-hmm. him not being good enough to perform in playoffs. Well, yeah. Man, did he take that to heart, and is he really showing him up? Because as good as Connor is playing and producing, this guy's leading the team in hits in this playoffs. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not a matter of, like, laying guys out, but you can just even go look at that OT goal that was scored. It was a dump-in to McDavid's corner. He out-battled Hanifin, the defenseman, created the turnover for Draisaitl. Draisaitl made a quick spinorama to Connor in the slot, and it's in the back of the net. And that's the what good players do in the playoffs. They find ways to win puck battles, find ways to make big plays, and that was definitely a big play for McDavid and the Oilers as they clinched their spot in the league's final four of the season. And to no one's surprise, at least not to mine, I actually picked Edmonton to win this series. And man, the way they're rolling right now, I would not be surprised if they are a team playing in the Stanley Cup final after this round two. And maybe we finally see McDavid versus McKinnon, best on best. That'd be the best thing for hockey right now. But it'd be wrong of us to at least get your opinion. I'm pretty sure you saw some of the controversy that came out of last night's game with the disallowed goal by Blake Coleman. What side mm-hmm. of the fence do you stand on that play?
If I had Rod on the file, I'd say cue the soccer goal call, because that was a goal. That was a goal. It deserved to count. Okay, so now generally I lean count more goals than not. But if I want to just call it down the middle, about my own personal bias that they should let more goals go in. You can intentionally direct a puck in the net with your feet.
I agree.
But what you're not allowed to do is have a distinct sticking motion. So if the puck's coming at me, I can stick my foot out there and deflect it. If I'm stopping, I can stop and have my skate slide into the puck. I just can't, by their motion, like rear my foot back and kick it forward. And so he intentionally guided that puck in with his feet, which you are allowed to do, especially when you're stopping. And yes, his foot came off the ice as it was going over the goal line, but that's also part of, like, I got to get my foot out of here or else it's going to eat the post, so I got to move my foot and get it off the ice to get it out of there.
He did that all on one leg, Johnny. That was the most impressive thing.
I know. And the reason why he did it, Carlo, because someone was holding a stick in behind him, right? So, like, this is why they allow these goals to be scored like that, because it gives you another option. So I thought it should have been called a goal. Now, I don't know if that means Calgary wins even the game, let alone a series or anything else, but if I'm calling that play, if I'm reviewing that play, I'm calling it a goal.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I think But I think the problem is, the challenge for the NHL is that you can have a whole bunch of, you know, relatively sane hockey people talk about this, and you won't come up with the same answer. And that's tricky, because you'd like a big moment, a reviewable moment, a goal to be, you know, pretty agreed upon. And the fact that it isn't is less than ideal for the league. So I don't know if they're going to have to clean up the language or change the standard again, but I would have called it a goal. I knew what he was trying to do. He saw the puck there. Yeah, I'm going to, like, turn my foot and stop into this puck. It's going to go in. You're allowed to do that. That's intentional is not illegal. I would have called it a goal.
MJ, quickly, I have noticed on FanDuel there are Mystic Mike boosts. And I know last night didn't go well. Of course, I've been riding the Mystic Mike boosts. How did we get the first up boost? Who are we supposed to talk to? And you know, we can go head-to-head in our boost competition. That's something I'm thinking
Mystic
about.
Mystic Mike versus first up.
That's right. That could be quite the showdown. What do you think?
This sounds like a competition I want to take part in, although last night didn't go well. Because I keep thinking Calgary's going to win a game. I kept doubling, tripling down on Calgary. We'll finally figure it out. I you know what? It's all the people over here in Europe. You got to know the European people. Maybe Carlo can get you in touch with some of the Euros over here, because clearly me being over here is what pushed it over the finish line. But I did see that, which is kind of funny. You go on the FanDuel app and you'll see a Mystic Mike boost on there. But now I got to, like, dig in, because, you know, Edmonton, I guess I wasn't giving – I mean, I give their top players credit, but I thought they were going to lose. Carlo, you thought they were going to win? I thought they were going to lose to a team that I thought was better than them. So good on the Oilers, and now I got to – you know, if they get Colorado, that's going to be a heck of a series. My first gut says, well, Colorado is a significantly better team, but I'm going to have to dig a little closer to check the odds, to see what makes
take
sense.
Take Edmonton on the plus money there, Johnny. That's my advice.
Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead to tonight, it's game six, Blues versus Avalanche. Blues with an incredible comeback, similar to Canada yesterday, extending this series. If you were to do a Mystic Mike boost for tonight's game, what would you lean on?
I wonder if are the Blues favored at home? I haven't even checked.
No,
today,
they're,
but
they're underdogs, big underdogs.
I think plus 130, plus 140, yeah.
Wow. So I'm of the same mind. I would think that Colorado would win tonight, but of those numbers, it's hard to go against the home team. So, yeah, I think Colorado, they're the better team. This is going to be the year they get through. They're going to be able to shake off that game five loss. But I will say this. The degree of desperation and maybe angst if they don't in Colorado, if they were in that game, had that moment, had the McKinnon moment, still don't get through, and then they end up going to a game seven. Imagine the pressure. Everyone talks about Toronto not getting through the first round. Well, it's the same thing for Colorado, but the second round. And having been up 3-0 at home in a closeout game, having been up with 3 minutes left in a closeout game and not getting it done.
A lot of people's jobs would be on the line in that game.
Lots of tension for the Avs. So to me, if you're St. Louis, like, if we can somehow get a game at home here, then the world is on the shoulders of Colorado for game seven. So I think the Avs probably on some level know that and don't want to get to that situation.
Blues haven't won a home game in this series yet. You think they're going to get swept at home?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
There you go.
Well, that sounds like the first Mystic Mike versus First Stop Wagers.
There you go.
I'm with you, Coco. I like the Blues plus money. MJ, thanks for doing this, man. Enjoy your time in Tampere. We'll be listening to the semis and hopefully the finals as well with Canada against whichever team emerges on the other side. Thanks for doing this.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend. I will talk to you from Toronto next week.
Nice. Love it. Yeah, well, enjoy your time in Tampere. I hear it's a great place out there, man.
It is. It's, you know what? First time here. It's really smaller town, a lot of fun. Good vibe. It's like a holiday this weekend. It's some sort of holiday. So the city's buzzing, and Finland's in the semifinals. So should be a good weekend.
Johnny, I'm a big food guy. What's the food like in Finland?
So we went to a traditional Finland restaurant on Wednesday night, and you know it was reindeer, a lot of fish.
Really?
Yeah. So reindeer was good. It was like a steak, I guess, I suppose. But it's kind of like a, you know, Scandinavian version of the food that we would assume would be kind of North American. So it's all good, and pizza. Like, I don't know, pizza's
lots
not
a, of, oh, European pizza, so buddy. You can be in whatever country you are in. European pizza is
every
dynamite.
30 yards, there's a pizza place.
Yes.
I guess it's crazy. So, but, you know, food's been good so far. So far, so good.
Good, man. Good. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking about some reindeer for lunch, personally.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't think
I felt bad eating Rudolph, but it's pretty good.
Well, that's it. That's it. I'm sure PETA is calling our phone lines right now.
Yeah.
But, so we'll let you escape while you can. Thanks, MJ.
Good thing our phone lines are down.
All right, that's Mike Johnson.
Right. See you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. If PETA decides to call us, then you know, that's probably bad news. But they did. The phone lines did come back. They did recover. Had a little bit of a mishap earlier.
What's
a very resilient group back there at TSN.
What's the, I wouldn't say weirdest, because there isn't anything weird about eating game meat, but what's the most unusual game meat that you've eaten?
Well, there's a restaurant, Antler, in downtown Toronto, which serves a bunch of weird stuff. Like,
really?
Very. Yeah. I believe the controversial Joe Rogan, when he came to Toronto last year, went to Antler and was a big fan of the different types of meats they serve, in that it's not, you know, customary, some of the meat. And that's not my style. Like, you know, you talk to Matthew Cause, who's up for anything and everything with regards to more eccentric or eclectic tastes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty standard. Like, would I be eating any reindeer in Finland?
I don't know.
I'm trying to picture stuff. Like, I mean, if you just use the word deer, that's one thing. But adding the rein in front of the deer, I don't know. That's weird.
Still deer meat, if you ask me. And deer meat is very tasty. Really? Kangaroo meat was...
You've had kangaroo.
Yeah, like there was this place down in Port Credit. I don't remember the name of it. They would, after the gym, I'd stop in. It'd be like a nice little, like, small supermarket. They had a nice deli counter with a lot of game meat as well, too. Ostrich, moose.
Ostrich.
Moose. Elk, you name it. They had kangaroo burgers. And I must say, man, really, really tasty. Really tasty.
This, my this favorite game meat a couple moose. Of years ago because you used the word gym, and I know that has nothing recent.
Yes. Yeah. You're very, very true about that.
Sorry.
Very
I didn't say that.
I'm not ashamed. Who was I listening to the other day? Oh, it was the Overdrive when they were interviewing Nick Foligno. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about... You know, guys that love to work out. And, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, when I played, I loved to work out because it was something that was part of my profession. I'm not going to lie to you. I couldn't even find the energy to love to work out right now. I actually would hate it. There's no... And I'm not trying to take a shot at the people that do it for a living, because there's people that... That's their routine. They get up early in the morning. They need to do something as a workout. I just feel like, and maybe I'll get back to that point in my lifetime. I don't know if I can see myself doing it. I did it. I did it so for so many years, and I did it so hard for so many years that now I'm just like, if I had to work out, that's the only thing I know about working out is at that level. I just don't want to do it. I'd rather just try to find something to be active instead of working out. Like riding
in a golf cart. That's
to put
that's
dumbbells active. On a barbell and like
I love it.
Bench
but you don't put
press
dumbbells on a barbell.
Sorry,
but.
You put weights on a barbell.
Weights, yeah.
Or even just to lift heavy dumbbells. It's like to me, my workout is sit-ups, core. And just band stuff, like all like, you know, what do they call that?
Well, you know who I work out with. You know who I work out with every day. And let's just say there's a lot of heavy weights being pushed. My boy Garv from covers.com. Probably see him a little bit later. I think it's leg day today. So, although my hips a little tight after golf yesterday. So I'm going to have to do some pliability myself. And maybe the Blue Jays have been doing some pliability exercises of late because all of a sudden their bats are hot. They scored 8 runs against St. Louis on Tuesday night, 6 against Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. Are the Jays' bats back? We asked Steve Phillips just that, and he'll answer it next.